This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on May 25th, 2017. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning, everyone. Ready to convene the open session for Thursday, May 25th, 2017. And I'd like to kind of make an opening comment about some of the issues that are before us and not before us and what we can and can't do in connection with foreign investment or use of foreign money in our American political system. There's a lot of people who seem to have different views as to what the Federal Election Commission can and can't do. And I think it's important to try and also serve an educational function in that regard so people don't have a misunderstanding as to what the commission can and cannot do. The issue of the effect of foreign money on American political system has come to the forefront to a degree which is perhaps completely new in our American history. From recent events, it's been made clear that money has seeped into our system in a variety of ways which are legal or illegal, and which our legal and regulatory system do not adequately address. Issues have arisen with respect to the jurisdiction of the extent to which the Federal Election Commission may participate in connection with the enforcement or disclosure relating to the use of foreign money on our electoral system. Unfortunate misunderstandings have occurred with respect to some of the information that has been provided in that regard. The Commission recently adopted, on September 15, 2016, have the general counsel was directed to prioritize cases involving allegations of foreign influence. The general counsel has done that. The most recent one we have available on such short notice of this morning was about 15 items a couple of months ago. But more than that, my thought would be that in order to address the issue with the same sense of priority and urgency that attended us when we voted for the priority decision, I'm asking that we take some steps to provide the public with information in respect to the Federal Election Commission. To that end, I'm asking the staff director and those who are involved in creating and maintaining our website to set aside a first page or a very locatable page that's easily detected, which relates to our role in the use of foreign money in American politics. This could include the status with respect to pending cases, to the extent to which they can or cannot be can be disclosed, principally at this point, the number and sometime the period of time of which or where they sit in our enforcement system. It can include the materials that we provide when we have conferences and videos on foreign investment. And it would include, perhaps to the extent we decide that makes sense, some of our matters under review that have been decided that are important for consideration or at least to make people aware of what they are. So basically, this material would be easily located. I'm asking that our education department under Greg Scott, who provides these information on our conventions and videos, to maybe synthesize or distill some of the information that is available for the public and at our conferences. And again, I'm asking the General Counsel to maybe set aside sufficient personnel to the extent that is necessary, in their opinion, to make sure that we are able to prioritize them through our system in short order, including those periods of time that relate between the time in which the complaint is filed and the complaint. It comes to us with a first general counsel's report. Last, I'd like to have us as our colleagues just to take a look at what we can do to make clear what we can and cannot do in terms of providing guidance to the public. It's not just a matter of enforcement of the law, it's a matter of educating the people so we have less enforcement issues. We have had some sessions in the past discussing foreign investment. We've had regulatory efforts that did not succeed, and I'm not concerned about finding fault with that. I'm just pointing out that it's a very difficult situation to make some judgments when some of my colleagues believe, and understandably so, that we really need some statutory guidance before we start to delve into the law of trying to make up regulations in an area where there was a big gap resulting, for example, Citizens United. And I think those are difficult situations. But nevertheless, I think there are things we could do, even with respect to guidance or various types of parameters that are appropriate or not, or even distilling what we've done so far with respect to foreign influence so that that's easily accessible to the public. So I hope that we can, in a collegial way, come forward and try and figure out some ways to educate the public to a greater degree in that regard. Thanks. The first matter is a resubmission of Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Colorado Republican Committee, CRC A13-12. To proceed?
Okay.
Sure. Of course.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Before you is the resubmitted Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on the Colorado Republican Committee. The resubmitted memorandum contains revised recommendations pertaining to our independent expenditure and record keeping for communications finding. This revision was based on the document CRC submitted on March 20th, 2017. CRC's documents, along with audits analysis, have been provided to the Commission. Thank you, and we will be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions, comments?
Mr.
Yes, Commissioner Goodman.
Just so that I'm clear, the memorandum is the proposed edit to the draft final audit report. The findings there are recommended. So when there's a motion made, it should be to approve the draft final audit report as modified by the memorandum of May 2nd. Am I right about that?
Mr. Commissioner, can you please repeat the question?
At the proper time when a motion is made to approve the draft final audit report, it should be to approve the draft final audit report as amended or edited by the memorandum of May 2nd. I just want to be clear what we're being asked to approve substantively.
I believe the process is if this motion is approved, then the edits go into the proposed final audit report, which is the next stage in the process.
Correct.
Okay, so the proper wording of the motion is will be to could you provide? Yes, ma'am. Mr. Chairman,
if I could,
I will yield for a question.
Commissioner Weintraub, sorry.
The stage we're at is the motion be to approve the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum. Attached to that is a draft final audit report, but that's not the motion. That's just sort of for informational purposes for the Commission that this is what it's likely going to look like when it comes back as a proposed final audit report, which will then be voted on again by the Commission. So we're voting on the audit recommendations that are reflected in that report.
The recommendations apply to each finding within the report.
Okay. As reflected in the memo of May 2.
The audit audit division.
Not as reflected in the draft final audit report that is before us.
Correct.
Okay. So the draft final audit report is superfluous for purposes of a motion? Okay, I just wanted to be clear because we got this in two waves, in two iterations. I wasn't sure what we were specifically approving, which document. It sounds like we're approving the memorandum and not the draft final audit report. Okay. Commissioner Weintraub, I'm not sure if you're going to move the recommendations as is, but I'm going to propose some amendments to that memorandum, specifically with findings as to dollar figures. As to the number of direct mailers that for which we don't have the invoices, And also, I'm not convinced about the convention account. So I don't know if you want to go through two motions to get to this approval, but that's going to be the substance of my motion.
I will have a simpler motion to begin then.
Are there any motions?
I have one.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Surprise.
I move approval of the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum with respect to the Colorado Republican Committee as set forth in agenda document number 17-20A.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
No. The nays have it. Commissioner Peterson?
No.
Three no. The nays have it. Commissioner Weintraub and I voted in favor. The Vice Chair, Commissioner Goodman, Commissioner Peterson voted against. Commissioner Goodman.
Yes. In the matter of the Audit Division recommendation on the Colorado Republican Committee, I move approval of agenda document number 17-20-A, the Audit Division's memorandum dated May 2, 2017, subject to the following amendments. As for the proposed finding 1C, misstatement of financial activity, unreported bank account, delete the proposed finding and move the issue to the additional issues section of the audit report, with text concluding that the commission had insufficient evidence to substantiate an unreported convention account owned and maintained by the Colorado Republican Committee, and noting that the Colorado Republican Committee should not allow its EIN number to be used by other organizations. Second, amend finding 2A as follows. First, the Colorado Republican Committee failed to properly disclose independent expenditures totaling at least $694,681.89. And two, of the 68 direct mailers not correlated with invoices, the Colorado Republican Committee failed to properly disclose independent expenditures for at least 51 direct mailers. And third, amend finding 2B as follows. The Colorado Republican Committee failed to file 24 and 48-hour reports for independent expenditures totaling at least $694,681.89 and at least 51 direct mailers for which the commission does not have the invoices. That's the motion. Speaking to it for just a minute. I think it's important if the Colorado Republican Committee is listening to this meeting or listens to it on tape to understand that the reason I'm bound to find that these mailers and at least one radio ad constituted independent expenditures that were not reported was because the committee never came forward with so much as just an affidavit attesting that all of their direct mail programs were run pursuant to the same volunteer program and procedures for which they had contemporaneous records of people signing in and signing out. If I saw a credible affidavit from someone who was involved in their mail program who attested that all of their mail programs were run consistent with that template, I would credit that, and I think none of these would be, these mailers would be independent expenditures under the volunteer mail exemption. But the party did not provide us sufficient evidence that that was the process for implementing its direct mail program. But if I saw that, I think then I would credit it and the volunteer mail exemption would apply. Absent that evidence, I think the commission's bound to find that they did not properly report these direct mailers to this dollar figure, at least this dollar figure, as independent expenditures. Also, I'd like to note that There is a finding of the failure to report the disputed invoice that they now say that the statute of limitations is run on. I think that can be resolved by a miscellaneous filing, amending their reports, reflecting retroactively the disputed debt and the resolution of it and the statute of limitations running. I think that's, if I'm correct, they have yet to go back and correct the record by correcting their reports to show the disputed debt, right? But I think it could be resolved by a miscellaneous filing reporting. I don't think they'd have to go back and revise every report. But they have not done that. And I understand they dispute the debt, and they didn't want to dignify the dispute with the vendor, but I think that they probably need to clarify that it was a disputed debt and that it was resolved. With those comments, those are my comments, and I'm prepared to vote on my motion.
Okay, Commissioner Weintraub had a comment to make.
I, unfortunately, am not prepared to vote on your motion because this is the first that I've heard of it, and you have detailed amendments to the findings, and I don't even have the language in front of me. So, I mean, it sounds like there could potentially be certainly some grounds for agreement here, but, you know, it would be really nice if we could have seen this language in advance of your reading it to us at the table.
Well, the report that we had didn't delineate the ads underlying the proposed findings. They were put in our records upon, you know, request. And so we were asked to vote on a final report without attachments as to the specific ads. So I've proceeded in the same way that the report was given to me. I've reviewed the mailers underlying the findings, correlated them to the dollar figures, and so my amendment is drawn at the same level of generality as the report was given to me.
That's not my point. Mm-hmm. I've had this memo in front of me since May 2nd. I've had plenty of time to read it and understand what's in it. You show up at the table with new language and say, here's the new finding I expect mm-hmm. you to adopt without, you know, and I appreciate that somebody just passed the language to me, but I don't actually understand what you mean in when you say amend finding 1C by moving the issue to additional issues with text. What is that text supposed to reflect? The finding, the disagreement, what you think, what I think? I don't...
As I just explained, I don't believe that the evidence adequately substantiates that this convention account, remember we had a hearing on this? We've discussed this previously.
No, that's not...
And so I...
Question.
No, I'm elaborating on what this means. This means that, as I say, the evidence is inadequate to substantiate that convention account was a party account. And to elaborate on that a bit, Commissioner Weintraub...
I think you're misunderstanding the level of my question.
Okay.
What I don't understand is when you say move it to additional issues with text concluding, are you proposing that that would be the conclusion of the commission, that would be the conclusion of additional issues? Often we have, you know, one group of commissioners thought this and another group of commissioners thought that. That's what I'm trying to figure out what.
You know what? That's fine because I take it that you've concluded that it is a party account. Typically where we disagree on a matter, it goes to additional issues. I was just trying to clarify that.
But that text would be in additional issues as
yes.
a description of what your conclusion is.
Now, I can remove the word concluding if that's what's troubling you.
No, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, with text concluding, what does that
How about mean? This? With text explaining that the commission could not agree as to whether it had sufficient evidence to substantiate an unreported convention account owned and maintained by.
Okay.
How about
right.
that? That's really what I meant. I mean, there is a disagreement. I'm sorry. I see that I overspoke with the word concluding, but that there was not sufficient agreement among commissioners to conclude that the commission had insufficient evidence. And because one bit of evidence that we had was that someone at the party may have used that party EIN number. I think there's an inference in the report. I don't know that we have the evidence of that original EIN number. I think that's some of the missing evidence. There's a little warning here, but Even had we gotten the EIN number that showed that this somebody opened up this account with the EIN number, to me, the evidence still indicates that one employee misused the EIN number of the party, because they did establish a 501c4 organization to maintain and operate this account. That organization did operate the account and pay for people to go to the national convention. And so I'm crediting that maybe it's possible. We still don't have the information that the EIN may have been used. And so I'm giving them a warning that you shouldn't allow your EIN number to be used for other organizations. That's meant as a warning. If you don't want it, that's okay. I did want to flag the issue for the Colorado Republican Committee.
Chairman, I just wanted to ensure that I just highlighted what Directive 70 directs staff to do already. It states if a recommended finding does not receive four or more votes, either approving or rejecting the recommendation, it would go to additional issues. Each additional issue will contain a brief summary of the facts, any applicable legal standards, a brief resuscitation of Audit Division's recommendation, and a statement describing the Commission's discussion of the issue in an overview of the vote on the recommended finding.
Yeah.
So that's
fine, and I'm proposing that the Commission insert some of its opinion in here, which is to alert them that they shouldn't allow their EIN. I'm actually chastising them a bit, just in case their EIN number was used. I'll strike that if you won't want to. Okay. So anyway, but that's the explanation of that. As to the reduction in the dollar figures of the findings, what I have done is I have reduced the numbers using the phrase at least, so that those who believe that more of the mailings constituted express advocacy and therefore independent expenditures have the protection of the language at least, but I have reduced the numbers to where I feel comfortable drawing express advocacy lines. And these numbers would reflect a consensus of commissioners as to express advocacy and the minimum amount. We can go through ad by ad if you want, but at the end of the day, this is just where we're going to reach consensus, down at these numbers. You still have hundreds of thousands of dollars in a finding that I want to reiterate, if the Colorado Republican Committee is listening, could be obviated if they could just establish that their mail program was all volunteer. But in the absence of that, this is where I think you're going to have consensus as to express advocacy in the mailings and the radio ads.
Commissioner Weintraub.
That's fine. I get all that. You're overestimating the extent of my concern. I just couldn't figure out what you were trying to do here.
Oh, okay.
with the text and with the proposed finding, because I didn't have it in front of me. And, you know, I have it in front of me now, and I can see what you're doing, and with the amendments you made at the table, I understand what you're trying to accomplish, but would have been helpful to have been able to see this before walking into the meeting.
Well, let's ask this. Is there any need to take any more time with regard to text, as far as anybody's concerned? I mean, that seems to be the snag.
We'll ensure we go back and listen to the tape so we can adequately. Our issue is moving forward on this.
Okay. Commissioner Weintraub, you're prepared to go forward?
Yep.
I think it's a good idea. Let's do it.
Yep.
Excuse me, Mr.
Motion?
Chairman.
And by the way, congratulations for the hard work you did on this, Commissioner Pete. Yes, ma'am.
May I ask if the motion will be as it was originally stated?
No, it'll be as modified at
okay.
the table.
Thank you.
To remove the word or concept of concluding and to reflect disagreement as to that conclusion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None? Passes unanimously. Advisory opinion 2017-02, War Chest, LLC. see. I guess we're prepared to receive. Is there any comment from council?
Yes. Thank you, Chairman Walther. Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
Agenda document 1721A is a draft response to an advisory opinion request submitted by War Chest LLC. The requester asks several questions regarding the application of the Act and Commission regulations to a proposal to offer political committees a web-based bank deposit program that would invest political committee funds into FDIC-insured money market accounts. The draft concludes that the requester may provide the services described in the request, but that political committees may not use their investment trust accounts with the requester as campaign depositories. The draft also concludes that the political committees would not be required to list the subcustodian banks as depositories on their statements of organizations, though political committees would be required to list the intermediary depository at which each political committee would have its own account. We did not receive any comments on the request and one comment on the draft. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Goodman.
Welcome, Mr. Terrell. How are you?
Morning, Commissioner.
Would just appreciate your reaction to the draft.
So, first of all, thanks for having me here this morning to answer questions. Happy to answer any questions you might have. I know it's sort of a technical banking issues at play here. We're fine with the draft. I think this is a terrific product that gives peace of mind to committees and donors alike on the safekeeping of their funds. And so we're fine with the draft. We were primarily concerned with the need to add depository accounts every single time hundreds of additional accounts were added, which would be obviously administratively burdensome, and I'm glad the commission realized that. And so we're fine with the draft. We're fine with draft A as is. I appreciate the comments submitted yesterday by the Credit Union National Association. I believe they have sort of a similar product, but this is a product that allows committees peace of mind with all the money, millions of dollars going into committees these days, especially super PACs, and the Act contemplates the need to have FDIC insurance on the depository, but so much of that money exceeds the $250,000 limit, and so this enables those committees to have peace of mind and have their funds fully insured through the program.
Commissioner Weintraub.
So the answer to question two is no. You're okay with that?
We're fine with that. Initially, our request stated that the trust company was regulated under the state banking regulations in Colorado. We understand that the commission sort of parsed that out, and there are definitions of a state bank under the regulations in Colorado. And so the primary concern of the client was not that issue. It was the administratively burdensome need to add depository accounts and statements of organization. And so we're fine with as is. That's the question, too.
Okay.
Any further comment? Well, thanks very much. I guess you didn't need to make the trip, but
I'm right across the street, Mr. Chairman, so this is fine.
You work in the FBI?
All right. Do we have a motion? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move approval of agenda document 17-21-A.
Thank you. Hearing nothing, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next matter, Commissioner Goodman, political party rulemaking.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I don't intend to belabor this, nor do I intend to call to a vote unless I think there are four votes for this proposal. until then, I just plan on keeping it alive, keeping hope alive. And and when I sense that the commission may be ready with four votes to move forward on a proposal like this, I will move it at that time. In the meantime, I'm open to answer any questions if any commissioners have, either in public meeting or in the hallway. So, but otherwise, just want to keep it on our radar. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. I think you're sooner or later you're going to be successful. But just, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to look at it lately, so I'm rusty. Any other comment? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we are long overdue on doing a rulemaking on, certainly on the Cromnibus, on implementing the Cromnibus, because our regulations are out of sync with the statute as changed by Congress. So I think that part we really should do. As for the rest, I don't agree with every position that is taken in there, but I'm certainly willing to engage and to, you know, perhaps let our staff take a crack at trying to draft an NPRM. I mean, voting for this resolution doesn't really accomplish a whole lot, because ultimately we need to have an NPRM and we would need to vote for that. And, you know, we know how that process works. There would be a lot of haggling back and forth over what would go into the NPRM. But, you know, I'm open to taking a crack at it.
Well,
Commissioner Goodman.
Take this as a public commitment then that we'll continue to work on this. This resolution calls for the office to open a notice of proposed rulemaking and to have the Office of General Counsel begin the drafting process. Is there something in that procedure that you're not comfortable moving forward with now? Or do you want to make edits to the resolution before we give our Office of General Counsel different direction, substantive direction?
I'm not prepared to vote for this resolution, which has a series of very specific proposals in it,
right. But
I am certainly open to having our general counsel's office start working on trying to draft a party rulemaking document. I'm not opposed to looking to see whether there are ways that we could enhance party functioning in the country. Everybody loves political parties. When we had the political party forum a couple of years ago, which you and former Commissioner Ravel were spearheading, I think a lot of the proposals that were made then were really proposals that would have to be addressed through statutory change. In some respects, there was pushback against regulations that had been already gone through litigation and had been changed, and people wanted to change them back to the way they were before they were struck down and try it again. And I'm not really convinced that that's terribly productive. But you're right. We have received one or two petitions, and one of the petitions, I think the one that was submitted by Mr. Reif, had a whole bunch of articles attached to it. So I'd like to spend a little bit more time going through that material and see what other ideas might be worth exploring and putting out for comment. So, as I said, I'm not prepared to vote for this resolution because it's very detailed about the proposals that would be in the rulemaking, but I'm happy to have our lawyers try to start working on a project.
Mr. Chairman, without objection, I would just suggest if we have at least four, and I'm not sure if we have five commissioners, normally we work as a consensus to utilize staff to get them working on such a project. But if we have that consensus, then I would ask the Office of General Counsel to begin working on adding some flesh to the bones of the two petitions.
Sure. I'm for it.
So that we can continue to consult with Office of General Counsel as they craft that.
Yeah, with the understanding that it would not be limited to these specific proposals in this resolution.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I will share.
I've got that consensus. I think it's unanimous.
Okay. Well, that's a step forward.
Not a big vote or anything. It's just let's get going.
I just don't want to overutilize this staff resources if there's not consensus to start down the path of working up a proposal. We've been down that path. But if there's consensus around these general concepts of addressing parties, then I'd be happy to work with you and the Office of General Counsel. And I understand you may not agree with all of these proposals. I will add, I have scrubbed the materials both that were provided to us in connection with that forum, as well as the submission of comments that came in response to the petition of Mr. Reif's, I think it was Mr. Reif's client, the chairman of the Minnesota Democratic Farmers Party, Farm Labor Party, and I have scrubbed it for those things that I thought we could do without needing legislative changes. The state and local parties are in dire need of legislative change and legislative amendments by Congress to really make them more effective political institutions, and that's beyond our control. But working within those yard marks, I think I have tried to maximize what we can do within our regulatory framework here, and I have kind of ringed it, you know, in every drop I could out of the comments that we received. But happy to engage with you on those that you disagree with as well as those you agree with and work with Office of General Counsel.
Sounds good. Anything further? That concludes today. Any matters?
There are none.
No matter intent. We're adjourned.
Point of personal privilege.
You want to be back on record?
I'd like to.
I just rescinded the adjournment.
Before we depart, I'd just like to recognize that in June we're going to be losing Mike Colombo from the agency. He's going to move to California and take up the private practice of law and political compliance at the Nielsen Merksamer firm in the San Francisco area. And Mr. Colombo is a treasure. He has been with this agency for 8 or 9 years. Previously he was in private practice, and before that he was an assistant U.S. attorney. He took a little bit of a leap upstairs to the 9th floor a little over a year ago, and he's been an invaluable counsel and trusted friend to me as well as other commissioners, and I know that he was valued downstairs as an enforcement attorney for many years as well. And so the commission is losing a good friend and an asset, and I just want to wish him well when he departs us I think the first or second week of June.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to add my good wishes to Mr. Colombo, who is indeed an excellent attorney and has been an asset to the agency. And you're going to a great firm, and the weather will be much nicer. So Godspeed. Good luck.
Yes, yes. Congratulations. That sounds like a great step forward, and thanks for all you've done for the agency. And it's always been easy to work with you. It's been really a pleasure. Anything further? If not, we're really adjourned.